Okay, so it's Parshas Vayishlach. Let's begin with a classic vart. Short classic vart. Yaakov Avinu, in the aftermath of, no, in the beginning of the Ma'aseh of Shechem, when the Bnei Yaakov, they hear that their sister Dina was taken by Shechem, the reaction is, Ki nevola osa b'Yisrael, and the nevola was done in Yisrael to take the daughter of Yaakov. Let me find the exact words of the pasuk. V'chein lo Yosef, lishka v'spas Yaakov. And the nevola was done in Klal Yisrael. The brothers were very disturbed. Yisatzavu ha'anashim. The brothers were very disturbed what they heard. Uvnei Yaakov bahu min hasodeh kishamam v'yisatzavu ho'anashim v'yichar lehem me'od. Why were they angry? Ki nevola osa v'yisrael lishkav espas Yaakov v'chein lo yosa. What is the deep meaning of this passage? So I believe this verse comes from the Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi says, this question is, why does the pasuk need to repeat this double concept of a nevola was done by Yisrael, v'chein lo ye'oseh? So he gives a mashal from a gemara. The gemara says, from a halacha in the gemara, if you give to a shomer, a coin, a silver coin, and you don't tell him you give him a gold coin, you put in a box a gold coin, and you tell him, here you are, sir, I want you to guard this gold coin. And the gold coin happens to be worth $1,000. But you tell the guardian, I'm giving you a silver coin, it's in the box, and it's worth $100. Please be so kind to guard this object. And the shomer goes, and he guards it, he does the proper shmira, and it's stolen. So the halacha is, the shomer, let's say he was partially negligent, and you have to know what exactly the case is, what exactly the rules are, shemachim, shemesachar, what exactly he did, but he was partially negligent. So the rule is he only has to, then you come back and you tell the guard, I'll give you my coin, it was stolen. Oh, you were negligent, okay, I'll pay for the damage. He told me it was a silver coin, here is $100, a penalty for my negligence. So the person says, but you know, I lied to you. It was really a gold coin, and it's worth $1,000. $1,000? Says, I'm sorry, you only told me it was a silver coin. Had I known it was a gold coin, I would have taken greater precautions. And I was negligent, but I only was negligent for guarding a silver coin. I was not negligent for guarding a gold coin. So what is the halacha? The halacha is the shomer only has to pay for a silver coin. He was told a silver coin, he was negligent for a silver coin, so he has to pay for a silver coin. However, if you have a situation where you give a guardian a coin, and you tell him it's silver, and the guardian takes the coin, and the first time, the first opportunity he has, he throws it in the garbage, he's pushaya, and then the owner comes back and says, where's my coin? And he says to him, ha ha, I threw it in the garbage, too bad for you. Alright, I'll pay you the $100. I'm sorry, sir, it wasn't a silver coin, it was a gold coin. You didn't tell me that. You told me it was silver. The halach is he has to pay for a gold coin. Because you had no right to be negligent, to be poshea, to do what you have done with a silver coin. If I give you something to watch, you have no right to take what I give you and throw it in the garbage. Even though you thought it was silver, you did not know that it was gold. The halacha is, if you do something which is beyond the pale, way off the charts, you are responsible to pay the value of what you have damaged, even though you don't realize what its true value really is. Now, with that mashal in mind, we come back to the Rabbi Beis Halevi explains that's pshat in this pasuk. There's no comparison between being mizana, doing the conduct that Shechem has done with Dina. If you would have done the same thing to another person, another someone who's not part of Klal Yisrael, not a member of Klal Yisrael, who has the kedusha, the sanctity of Klal Yisrael, Shechem would have been guilty. It's something which is an avera. But to do such a thing to Bas Yaakov, everyone knew about Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the Kedusha of the Avos of Klal Yisrael, to go just grab the daughter of Yaakov and commit this terrible Avera, that's a much greater sin. That's a sin that's like being negligent with regard to a gold coin. Had Shechem done the same exact, had he conducted himself the same exact way with a girl who's not part of Klal Yisrael, it would have been like being negligent with a silver coin. But now that you've done this to the daughter of Yaakov Avinu, oh, this is like you're being negligent with a gold coin. Here, along come the children of Yaakov, and they want full retribution. They want to wipe out the city of Shechem. They want to kill Hamor and Shechem and the whole works. Why? What it's only deserving to wipe out a whole city for such an avera if the person knew what they were doing. And the truth is, from the simple understanding of the psukim, it could very well be that Shechem did not realize who he's dealing with. Klal Yisrael, among ourselves, we appreciate who we are. We appreciate the kedusha of Klal Yisrael, and such a thing is a terrible, terrible thing. But Shechem, perhaps he did not realize the kedusha of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and of Dinah. So, should Shechem be held accountable? That's exactly what the pasuk comes to address. The answer is yes. You know why? Because it was a nevola osa b'Yisrael. Such a thing to happen in Klal Yisrael is called a nevola. If such a thing would happen among the Umos HaOlam, it would not be called a nevola. It would be called a tragedy. It would be a terrible sin. It would be a crime. There would be repercussions. There would be justice. But it would not be called a nevola. For Klal Yisrael, it's called a nevola. But Shechem is going to have to pay the price of a nevola. Why? Because v'chein lo ye'oseh. This is something you don't even do among the Umos HaOlam. You don't take a coin, you don't take a package and throw it in the garbage. If I give you something to watch and I tell you in the package is a silver coin, you have no right to take this package and throw it in the garbage. If I come back to you later and ask you, can you give me back my package? And you tell me you threw it in the garbage, and then I reveal to you that in the package was not a silver coin but was a gold coin, you have to pay for the gold coin. Because v'chein lo ye'oseh. You don't take a package, even if it's a silver coin, you don't throw it in the garbage. Now that you did not realize that it was silver, now that you discovered that it was gold, you're punished for the gold because your conduct was not proper, even had it been silver. That's exactly what's happening over here in this pasuk. Shechem is going to have to pay, have to suffer the consequences for his actions. What are the consequences? For the nevola that was done by Yisrael. A nevola by Yisrael is gold. Why? Because v'chein lo ye'oseh. You don't even do something like this among the Umos HaOlam. And therefore, megalgalin olav es hakol. It's a very powerful limud hamusar in life, and we deal with sins that are done by Klal Yisrael. A person does an avera in Klal Yisrael, a person, he knows his madrega, he knows he's part of Klal Yisrael, there are certain things he should not be doing. And if you do the avera that even among the Umos HaOlam is unacceptable, then you can't say, listen, I was nichshol in the avera, so don't punish me with the higher standards of Klal Yisrael. Punish me with the standards of the Umos HaOlam. If among the Umos HaOlam it's something that's v'chein lo ye'oseh, so then megalgalin la'alav es hakol, you'll have to suffer the consequences for the more severe form of punishment that's done by Klal Yisrael. Right, that's a short effort. Now, once we're talking about the parasha of Dinah and Shechem, I want to bring out another point, another interesting targum Yonis Ben Uzdil, which I saw, which really captured my attention. Mr. Rapport, he mentioned to me yesterday, we're discussing yesterday the different, the dialogue, Yaakov and the children. Yaakov was in on the plan from the very beginning. Yaakov was standing there. He saw that his children were negotiating with Shechem and Hamor. All of them should have a bris milah. The children seemed to know that the end would be they would have charata. They would have charata, and then the whole plan would fall apart.
Rambam is even stronger. He says, right. He didn't think they go through it.
At the end was that the children, not only did they go through with the plan, that Yaakov, according to most of the Farshim, Yaakov thought that the end would be they would just take back Dina. They would not go out to the Kach and wipe out the whole city. But Yaakov's children were Kanoim, and they went further, and they wiped out the entire city. Yaakov then says to them, "What are you doing? What are you doing? We're just a few people. There's a whole world out there. They'll come, they'll attack us, they'll kill us. How dare you do this?" And the children respond, "What do you think our sister is? We're going to tolerate this?" And Yaakov is silent. Finished. Parsha goes further. What exactly is going on? So, I believe the Targum Yonas Aminu Zil and the Targum Yerushalmi says something which really opens up a whole new understanding into the story and ties very much into the first Rashi in, I don't know, Chol's favorite Rashi is the first Rashi in Chamisha Chum Sheitov from Rabbi Yitzchak. It changes the whole changes everything. What is the word? It's a very long Targum Yonas Aminu Zil and Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Targum Yonas Aminu Zil, many times he adds in like Midrashim, adds in a lot of things that are off the track. Anyon Shimon V'Levi. Shimon V'Levi spoke up. They said, Lo Yoi L'mehevei Mis'amar B'chnishtehoin Di Yisrael. It's not proper that it should be said in the Bote Kinesios of Yisrael that an Arloin Se'ivu L'vsulto, that an Orel, a person, a lowlife, like Shechem, that doesn't even have a bris milah, contaminated the besula of the daughter of Yaakov, ufalchei tzalman, a person who worships idols, tonifu, dirtied, livrate de Yaakov Eloikein, the daughter of Yaakov, of Yaakov, who serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu in such a fashion, and rather it should be said in the Bote Kinesios, the Bote Midrashos, the Bote Kinesios, that if someone starts up with the daughter, I'm just paraphrasing when it says in times a very low target, if someone dares to start up with the daughter of Yaakov and commits a crime, they are exterminated. They are wiped off the face of the earth. The Targum Yerushalmi is one more word. He says it's not proper that it should be said in the Bate Kinesios and the Bate Midrashos. Now that's a whole new perspective on what is taking place here. If you look at the words of the Pasuk, when Yaakov criticized his children, he says to them, "What am I afraid of? Vayomer Yaakov al Shimon v'Alevi achartemosi. You've made my vision blurry. Lahavisheni diyoshveretz, to put me in a weak position among the Yoshvei Aretz, Baknani v'Aprizi v'Ani m'Sei Mispar v'Nesvu Olai v'Ikuni v'Nishmati Ani u'Beis." Yaakov looks at this from the perspective: what is the world going to say? What's the world going to say? Over here, Yaakov's daughter was taken captive, and my children have taken revenge. They wiped out a whole city. What will be public reaction? So public reaction will be, oh boy, watch out, this family, they're zealots, they're extremists, they're fundamentalists, and therefore we have to retaliate, and we have to go to war. On the other hand, the nations of the world, now if we work with that approach, also sets the tone to the nations of the world, don't mess with Klal Yisrael. Don't mess with them. They're very tough. Is it kedai for the nations of the world to retaliate, to engage in battle? Maybe yes, maybe not. On the one hand, they're very dangerous. On the other hand, maybe we can overcome them. Yaakov appears to be concerned with public opinion. The children of Yaakov say to their father, "Father, we don't care about public opinion. We are concerned with us. We're concerned, how does this affect our self-image of how we view the Kiddush of Klal Yisrael? What are people going to say in the Beis Medrash? They're going to say, it's not so bad. We have a sister, our sisters, our daughters. No, they're Zoynais. That's what it is. We don't care about the world. We care about ourself, how we view the pirtza that's been made in our perception of our own Kedusha. Therefore, we have to go to war, wipe out and exterminate the enemy, in order that in the Beis Medrash, we should appreciate who we are, appreciate our exalted spiritual status, and such things don't happen. Such things are not tolerated. It's not for public. We're not concerned about it because the world doesn't care. They don't care about us. We're concerned about us, our relationship to the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. Where do we have this? The same exact concept. The first Rashi in Chumash. The first Rashi in Chumash. The Umos Olam will come to Klal Yisrael and will say, Listim Atem! You're a bunch of bandits. You stole Eretz Yisrael. How dare you come into Eretz Yisrael and conquer the land? How dare you? There were seven nations of Canaan living here. You come in, you wipe them out. You exterminate them. What right do you have to do this? So therefore Hashem says, and therefore I'm telling you, Bereishis Bor Elokim Es HaShemayim V'Es HaAretz, I created the world, and I gave it to the nation of the Canaan for a period of time. The nation of Canaan have committed terrible abominations, and therefore their time is over, and I'm giving you, Klal Yisrael, the right to come and conquer the land. Now try to tell this to the Umos HaOlam. It doesn't work. They don't want to hear this. We've tried to tell them this. It falls on deaf ears. They're not interested. They'll say they don't believe in the Torah. They don't care. It's not right. It's wrong. It's ancient. It's outdated. And the whole thing doesn't make one word of sense. So what then is the first Rashi in Chumash telling us? It's for us. It's for us. We don't care what they have to say. They don't want to hear what we have to say. They don't want to know. The reason why the Torah begins with my separation is that we should have no guilt. Don't feel guilty when you conquer and you settle Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is your land. Don't apologize to the world. The world doesn't like it. That's not your problem. You have to settle the land because it's your mandate. It's yours. Hashem gave it to you. It's your land. That's the purpose. That's exactly what the children of Yaakov are telling their father. Father, you're telling us we should not have done this because you, father, you're afraid of the Kanani, the Perizi, we're the same as Spart, there's going to be a world war. You think, father, you think we did this because we want to show the world? That's how Yaakov looked at their actions. Yaakov saw his children wipe out a city. Yaakov, what are my children doing? They're trying to prove themselves to the world. They're trying to tell the world, don't mess with us. So Yaakov says, you're outnumbered, my children. You think you're tough, you're macho, you have tanks, you're outnumbered. What are you trying to tell the world? Don't mess with you. Just go into your ghetto. Don't do this. It's not going to work. The children say to the father, father, we didn't fight this battle to tell the world not to mess with us. We fought this battle to make an impression upon us. There was a zilzul in the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael, and that affects us. We no longer look at our daughters and our sisters the same way. They're just like other women in the world. We did this to make an impression upon us that in the Beis Medrash and the Beis HaKnesses, the Goyim are not coming to Kollel. They're not. No matter how much you pay them, they're not going to come and sit in Kollel. They're not going to come to Kollel. The Beis Medrash, the Beis HaKnesses is for us. And Yaakov's quiet. And Yaakov's a maskin. Shtiko kehoido. It answers all the questions. It really answers the dialogue, what Yaakov said. Yaakov talks about the nations of the world, and he tells them, their children, you're making a big mistake. And they respond, Hachizoyne yases hachoyseinu. What are they answering? Targum Yonason says, it's for the Beis Medrash, and the Beis HaKnesses. Oh, now I understand. And in a chanami, if you're able to pull it off, good for you. Yeah.
It seems here that they get the last word.
Yeah, they do. Right. Well, they do.
But they do, and yet they don't.
Why not?
Because in the brachos, there's still that lingering.
Okay, good point. Part. Okay, it's a good point.
That's why there's a machlokus on what the brachos meant. Was it
how was
it? It says about
Shem. Or Apomki, okay, all right.
This is a similar bunim. You always have the parents being very conservative. What are people going to say? And the kids are always saying, I don't care what people say. If it's my name, I'm going to go ahead and...
It's for me. Yeah, okay.
We have the Rosh.
Yeah.
The Rosh brings down, actually, he doesn't say it's the most reliable source. Brings down it's a safer Yasher.
Yeah.
That they actually did go to Bukhama. And only through a nation.
They survived.
He gives a whole blow-by.
And only through a
miracle, they survived. So they really went very far. But it's an incredible target of Yonasim Zil. You would never say such a thing. You would never think such a thing. Yeah. If not for the fact, and the Yushalmi says the word Beis Medrash. He says, actually, he says, in the Beit Kinishta and the Beit Midrasha. The Goyim are not coming to the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMeis Medrash. It's a lesson for us. Like the first Rashi in Chumash, don't have any guilt living in Eretz Yisrael. Don't feel bad for the Umos HaOlam. They can scream all they want. You have to live with conviction.
But the Ramban is critical. He points Yaakov's things. He says, I can understand he killed Shechem, killed Hamor. But that was the second thing. Either they captured Dina back and nobody gets killed, option one. But option two, when Yaakov would accept that, they killed Shechem Hamor because it's one of the Shem B'nai Noach, Zela. He would have accepted that, but the extent, the magnitude of what they did,
okay,
what he could not accept.
That's another approach. Okay, it's another approach. I am Panamutara.
The Ralbag, well, you know, and the reason, because you can't see the Ralbag, but he quotes the Ralbag.
Yeah.
And he says that the way they were able to accomplish all this,
yeah,
killing everybody, there was no war at all. They came to town to help them, you know, to say, we're here to help you. We know that you're in a lot of pain. We have a cure for you. And they went house to house. They told the women to go. Well, that's what he says here, that the Ralbag postulates this. That they went from house to house. They told the women to go out. That the men have to be alone now. And they would give them a cure to make them feel better. And they locked the door behind them. And they said, don't go in. Let them
die.
And they went from house to house. Dude, that's the Ramban. And
okay,
he quotes them and says, that's how they accomplished what they said.
Okay, scary stuff.
I know, right?
Okay, let's go to another idea. I saw the following idea that I don't have the sources. I saw this in the same called Shabbos Umo'adim. I quote from that during the week when we do some of the Halach and Yonim. It has Halach and Agada. He says the fascinating Mahalach in the story of the Malach wrestling with Yaakov Avinu. Based upon, really, it says in the Gemara, it's fairish in the Gemara, but he develops it in a very beautiful way. I just want to add one little teeny prat, or two small pratim to his idea. Yaakov Avinu returns in the middle of the night to retrieve Pachim Ketanim. At this moment, he meets up with the Sar Shel Esav. They engage in a wrestling match the entire night until the Malach hits, he injures Yaakov Avinu b'kaf hayarech, and Yaakov is now, he limps, he's soleya al yarech. When the morning comes, the Malach says to Yaakov, release me, I have to sing Shira. Yaakov releases him, and the Malach says, okay, one day, the day is going to come when I'm going to change the name from Yaakov to Yisrael, because you have been successful, you have prevailed, ki sorisa im elokim v'anoshim v'atucho. Then we go further, and we learn that Claudius Yaakov comes to Luzo, and he's limping, v'yizrach le ha-shemesh, and he's limping on his thigh. He's soleya al yirechay. And then there's a pasuk in the middle of nowhere, al kain lo yoichlu b'nei Yisrael es gir ha-noshe, Claudius Yisrael kenadi, the b'nei Yisrael do not need to get ha-noshe, because the Malach injured Yaakov Avinu. Let me read you that pasuk. Vayizrach lo hashemesh kasha over es pinuel vuhutzle al yirecho al kein lo yochlu vde yisrael etzkir hanoshe al kaf hayerech ad hayoim hazeh ki noga b'chaf yerech Yaakov v'gid hanoshe. Now, according to the Mefarshim, these are the sources, I've seen the sources in different places, this pasuk lamed gimel, the entire pasuk does not belong here. This pasuk was written by Moshe. In other words, there is a tradition that the Torah was, one of two opinions, was written Megillah Megillah, was written in bits and pieces. As things happened throughout the course of history, parashios were put in writing. There was a parashas Bereishis, there was a parashas Noach, there was a parashas Lech Lecha, and there were small Megillos. And then came Matan Torah, Moshe took over, and Moshe, he took over at that point in time, and he wrote all the parashios starting from, I guess, from Yitzias Shemos, and so on and so forth, to the end of the Torah. When Moshe came to put together the Torah at the end of his life, he took all of the Megillos that preceded him, pretty much all the Megillos of Chumash Bereishis, and he edited, he compiled it into a Chamishei Chumshei Torah. Did he edit? Possibly. There were some things that had to be changed. Maybe yes, maybe not. But one thing that Mefarshim said, this Pasuk Lamed Gimel did not appear in the original version. In the original version, we learn that Vayivaso Yaakov levado vayevik Yishimar lo sashachar vayaki lo yochlo ki vayegi mikafa yirechol vatel kafiyach Yaakov beheyavko imo, period. Okay, and then it goes further vayikoshe vayizach leshemish kashovas pruel vuhutz loy al yirechol, period. Moshe, one of the Tayag mitzvos that was given to Moshe at Sinai was the mitzvah of Gid Hanoshe, and Moshe could have put the mitzvah of Gid Hanoshe in Vayikra and Bamidbar and Devarim somewhere. There are many places in Macholos Asuras where it could have been included. We on our own would not have a very hard time figuring out through a medrash, through some type of understanding, why is there a mitzvah of Gid Hanoshe? Oh, we can look back in our history, we can look back into Parshas Vayishlach, there was a maisa with the Siddur Shel Esav, Vayigel Kaf Hayarech, and that's why there's something called Gid Hanoshe. That's really what we would have done if we were given the task to put together the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu did something very, very unusual. He took the mitzvah that was given to him in Sinai of Gid Hanoshe, and he made an edit in one of the old Megillos that would one day be part of the Torah, which he would include in Torah, and he put in Pasuk Lamed Gimel. He added it to the end of the section, because the section ends with Vayizrach le'Hashemesh kashuava as penuel v'hutz le'al yirecho, and then Moshe added a Pasuk, Al kein lo yachlu b'nei Yisrael es Gid Hanoshe, asher al kaf ha'yirech, ahayom hazeh, ki naga b'chaf yirech Yaakov b'Gid Hanoshe. He added it in. And in fact, that's why there's repetition, because this Pasuk perhaps was originally put somewhere else. It was originally in an older edition, an older version of the Torah, when Moshe was preparing for publication. It was put later, and there it had a taka say. It had to say the words Kinoga bechaf yerech Yaakov begin Hanoshe. Though that end of the pasuk, when you look at the chumash later and you look at that pasuk, these extra words, it says Kinoga bechaf yerech Yaakov begin Hanoshe. Well, that's pretty obvious. I mean, we just read that two psukim ago. What do you have to repeat those words for? It says it very clearly here. Well, the answer is, if this pasuk did not appear in this section, this pasuk appeared in a different chumash, appeared in Devarim, appeared in Bamidbar, appeared in Vayikra, then it would make perfect sense, because they were not discussing the mice of Yaakov and the Sneshal Esav. And in Echanami, that's possibly where it appeared originally for the very first time. But now that Moshe Rabbeinu he's not going to rewrite the passage, he's just going to take this pasuk, and instead of having it included in Devarim, Bamidbar, Vayikra, or Shemos, he's going to put it over here in Parash Vayishlach, and it appended to this section.
It's a parenthetical statement.
Correct.
Parentheses.
And it was originally somewhere else. So the question is, why? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu put it? Does the mitzvah of Gid Hanoshe does not appear anywhere else? Only appears here. It's part of the Tayag Mitzvos. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu put the mitzvah here in Parashas Vayishlach, not somewhere else? That's one question. Another issue, which let's already go to the answer. If you look clearly in the Gemara, I don't know where the Gemara is. I didn't memorize the source. The Gemara says, the reason why the children of Yaakov observe the custom of not eating the Gid Hanoshe, well, first of all, take a step back. Who observed the mitzvah of not eating the Gid Hanoshe before Matan Torah? We know that the Ovos from Mekayim Kol Torah Kufa was given, but particularly this mitzvah, the Gid Hanoshe, who was the one? Did Yaakov Avinu himself refrain from eating the Gid Hanoshe? So many want to suggest no. Yaakov Avinu ate the Gid Hanoshe. When he went to the butcher shop, when he went, no, it was healed. He was already healed. Let's say after Vayizrach Hashemesh, it came to a certain point. Vayav Yaakov Sholem, he was healed. Surely thereafter he was healed. Yaakov, when he went to the butcher store to buy meat, he said, "I'll take the gid. I'll eat the gid." There was no issue whatsoever, no problem. The only ones before Matan Torah that did not eat the Gid Hanoshe were his children. Alkein lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael. Here, b'nei Yisrael is not like Vayidaber Hashem al b'nei Yisrael later on after Matan Torah. It refers specifically to the children of the b'nei Yaakov. Here it says the word b'nei Yisrael, but it refers to his children. Yaakov is called Yisrael. Why? So the Gemara says very clearly why. Because they blame themselves. Hinichuhu. How did his children, these young, strong giboirim, allow their father, who was an old man at this time, to go alone, to cross the river alone into a dangerous location to retrieve Pachim Ketanim? What kind of Derech Eretz is that? What kind of Derech Eretz to Yaakov's, at this point, 11 children, 12, at this point he had 11 children, 11 children to leave their old father all alone and let him go by himself in the middle of the night when there are mazikim, there are demons, there are shadim, and there's like Esav people, all these mishugoyim floating around? They let their old father go alone to go retrieve pachim getadim? What kind of kibud avo aim is this? Terrible. And therefore, when he came back wounded, they realized they were lacking in kibud avo aim, and therefore they will makabel upon themselves as a knas, as a reminder for the zilzul of kibud av, of not escorting their father, not to eat the ginash. It kemat says the Gemara beferish. And just when we read the Gemara, we don't really appreciate the words. We read the Gemara, M'dayim L'mar, Shehinichuhu. They let him do it. They let him go by himself. And that is why the Mepharshim said, the Sefer Shabbos and Mu'adim explains, that's why it's Dafka, the Kaf HaYerech, Bra Kara Davua, famous Mame Chazal, a child is the Kara, is the leg of the father. A child is called the extension. The child is what gives the father mobility in the next world. A person in the next world can go from place to place, has mobility, because his children are his feet. His children are doing Torah and mitzvahs in this world. They give his father the ability to move forward, to be mobile in the next world. So bro kara davua, the kaf hayarech, it's a mitzvah that relates to the leg of the animal. Now let's go a step further. Why was the Malach able, the Sitna Shel Esav, able to wrestle and to some degree succeed in battling Yaakov Avinu? Let's review the hatred. Why does Esav hate Yaakov? Where does it all come from? The answer is it comes from Yaakov took the brachos. Yaakov. Now let's review the story. This is how he describes the story in a little more detail based upon Amari Chazal. Yaakov and Esav are twins. They're 15 years old. On that day, Avram Avinu dies. The greatest tragedy the world has ever had takes place on that day. The death, the petira of Avraham Avinu, the one who brought the hakara of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, dies. Could you imagine the mourning? Can you imagine what the world was like on that day? Avram has died. Yitzchak, the holy Yitzchak, who is offered as a korban mi'akedah, is an avelus. Esav comes back from the field. Yaakov says to him, do you know what happened? Avraham died. The world is charaf. Our father, Yitzchak, is in mourning. And what does Esav say? I couldn't care less. I couldn't care less. It doesn't mean one thing to me that my grandfather, Avraham Avinu, has died, and my father is in mourning. I don't care. What do you got here? You got some food? I'm hungry. I just killed Nimrod. I just did all of these averos. I'm hungry. You have food? You're serving food to the mourner? To our father, the mourner? He's mourning our father, Yitzchak. He's mourning for his grandfather, Avraham. What do I care about him? My grandfather, my father. I care about the Suda Savra. I want the food. Give me the food. So what does Yaakov say? Yaakov says, what is the Bukhar? This is already Maral talk. Maral says, what is the Bukhar? The Bukhar is the, why is the Bukhar special? The Bukhar is the creature that brings into this world the concept of a father. The firstborn, until the person has a child, you're just an individual. When a person has a firstborn, you become a father. You become an Av. Wow. Now I have a new role in this world. A second child, the third child, the fourth child, that does not give you the koyach, the shame of. You already had the role of a father. Your role of a father has just expanded, has just gotten greater. But the first person to give you the status of a father is the Bukhar. So here, we're looking at our grandfather, Avraham, and our father, and this lowlife, Esav, couldn't care less. He doesn't relate one bit to his father, has no sympathy for his father, to his grandfather. He has no connection to his father. And he's the Bukhar. The whole essence of a Bukhar is a person who connects, who creates the Shema'af. I'm the one that cares about Avraham. I'm the one that took a hard hit today with the death of my grandfather and my father's mourning. I should be the Bukhar, not this person. He doesn't care about the Indian of being a Bukhar. He has shown he doesn't care about his grandfather and his father. So let me take it for myself. Let me sell it. Let me buy it. Let me take it away. Let me acquire for my brother Esav the birthright to being called the Bukhar, because I'm really the one that appreciates what has happened today. It's not just that he's buying something, a good deal. It's on sale, flea market. I never would have thought about this. Your conduct today, Esav, goes against the grain of what a Bukhar is. It's not just time that Yaakov Avinu took advantage of the situation. I'm hungry. Yaakov was always chalishing to have this present called the Bukhar, have a pishnayim. Today's a great day because he wants to make a deal. That's not what it's about. What it's about is you here have been mizalzel in the essence of what the Bukhar is all about by not showing any sensitivity for your grandfather or your father. Therefore, you don't deserve the Bukhara. I'm the one that's sensitive to the events of the day. I deserve the Bukhara. Esav said, if that's the case, you're right, take it, you could have it, I'll sell it to you, give me the beans, and you could have the firstborn right. Now it comes the Maisa of the Siddha Shel Esav, the wrestling match. Vayavik Ishimari. Esav meets Yaakov, Nochamo. They meet in the middle of the night, the Sar Shel Esav. Esav says, oh, Yaakov, you're the Bukhar. You're the one who appreciates what it means to be an Av. You're the one who appreciates what it means to have a grandfather. So let me ask you, Yaakov, what are you doing here in the middle of the night all alone? It's dangerous. Where are your children? Where are your children? Do you know where your children are? They talk and say that it's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? Do you know where your children are? So this is what Yaakov Avinu says. The reason why you're the Bukhar and I'm not the Bukhar is because you have an Akara of an Af. But part of being Akar of an Av, that goes down to the next generation. The fact that your children have abandoned you, and your 11 children who are betukfam, they're healthy, they're strong, they're young, they let you go out in the middle of the night, across a river, to retrieve pachim ketanim. What kind of children do you have? Your children, what kind of father are you? What kind of children do you have? Obviously, there's no connection between you and your children. So just like there's no connection between you and your children, it really goes to show, it goes two ways. You're really not connected to Yitzchak and to Avraham. You're a faker. If your children have no connection to you, then you have no connection to your father, because father goes two ways. A good father is also a good son. That's the way it goes. And therefore, we got a problem here. I want it back. You know better than me. And the proof is in the pudding. You know better than me. And therefore there's a wrestling match. And this wrestling match goes on the whole night. And only with great difficulty, with great nisim, does indeed Yaakov Avinu survive, but he comes out wounded. Because Esav was right. Esav had, there was something to it. They should have been more sensitive. He was right. There was a lack, a zilzal in the relationship of a child to a father. And before we go further, just derech agav, you learn over here an incredible yesod, a musar life. The Musa you learn from this is, when does Esav have a koyach of shlit of a klal Yisrael? When do we have a trouble? When do we have trouble with Esav? Is when we don't connect with the avos. When we don't appreciate who we come from. We don't appreciate our heritage, our Mesorah. And we want to start making changes and deviating from our Mesorah. That is where it opens up a Pesach to allow Esav Yovek Ishimo Vateka Bekaf Yerech Yaakov. The wrestling match of Esav and Yaakov was only existed because of the zilzal of the kibbutz, of the recognition, the hakara, the zilzal that the children did not have enough of an appreciation for their father Yaakov to escort him back, protect him when he went back to receive the pachim ketanim. That opens up the Pesach for Esav to harm Klal Yisrael. But if the children of Yaakov would have an appreciation where we come from, who our father is, then Esav would not have an opening to start and wrestle to make trouble with Klal Yisrael. But that's a side point. Yeah.
I think that this approach brings out also something about Esav, because according to this,
according to this idea, Esav showed disregard for his father, and yet Esav is regarded as the model of keep it up.
So it goes to show he's on a faker, right?
And it's really, it's really for show.
For show, absolutely. Right.
That's what Esav's assumption of appearance.
He didn't have years.
Exactly. It enhances this idea because that's what his whole pride. I'm the real Miyuchas. But the truth is, Yaakov's the Miyuchas. You're the Miyuchas, so where are your children? How come they're not protecting you? Now, with this Yisoh, we answer a lot of questions. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu take from all of the Tayag Mitzvos, he had to edit his first edition, take the Pasuk of Gid HaNoshe, and put it back in Chumash Bereshis. Because Chumash Bereshis is the Sefer HaYashar. Why is it called Sefer HaYashar? It's the Sefer of the Avos. It's the Sefer of our heritage. Kibud Avoim is not just giving honor to one's father. It's recognition. The bigger picture of things is to recognize where you come from. The mitzvah of Kibud Av belongs in Chumash Bereishis, because Chumash Bereishis is the Sefer of the Avos. And Gid HaNoshe was the mitzvah, which is a painful reminder for Klal Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael, what happens when you don't appreciate your father. You don't appreciate where you come from. You don't appreciate where you come from, then you don't deserve the Bechorah. You don't deserve the Bechorah, everything begins to unwind. Esav is down our throats. Vayavik Ishimo, Vateka Kaf Yerech Yaakov, and Yaakov will limp and will struggle to exist. It all comes when there's a lack of Kibud Av. Sefer Bereishis is the Sefer of the Avos. This also explains why is the mitzvah, all the Tayag mitzvahs, why is the mitzvah of Kibud Av O'Em in the Aseres HaDibros? Why? And let's make it the question even more pronounced. Why is it in the first five? The first five is Anoichi, Lo Yelcha, Lo Sitsa. Those are all about Hashem. All about Hashem. Yes. And then Shabbos. Okay, Ma'aseh Bereishis. You can't say not Ma'aseh Bereishis. That's Chumash Bereishis. Kibud Av O'Em. Kibud Av O'Em. Okay, so different. That's a different idea. But what's Kibud Av O'Em? Don't put aside the idea of partners. What about Kibud Av O'Em? Why is that so important to be included in the first five? Because Kibud Av O'Em is part of Chumash Bereishis. It's the Avos. Kibud Av O'Em is not just honor your father. In the bigger picture of things, Kibud Av O'Em is Klal Yisrael. Know where you come from. You come from Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And the only reason why you are the Bechor, the only reason why the Bechor was sold to you was because you were the one who appreciated the death of Avraham. You were the one that was sensitive to the mourning of Yitzhak, not Esav. You're the one who's the true Mechabe, the true one that gives cover to the father. And if you're not going to have that sensitivity, then you know who really deserves to be the Bechor? Esav deserves to be the Bechor. And if Esav deserves to be the Bechor, you're out. The whole Torah is out. You don't deserve this. You're not part of this whole thing. It's essential. It's part of the Shirashim of the history of Klal Yisrael, Kibud Av. Our legitimacy of being the Bechor comes from Kibud Av. And we see with the Gid HaNosh that when we were unfaithful, or we were lacking in this, everything began to very quickly unfold, unwind. Now I want to go to one more idea, and really to prove this point. Later in Parashas Miketz, when Yosef sees his brothers, when they finally come with Binyamin, Binyamin is here. We're going to have a beautiful meal. We're going to have a Thanksgiving dinner tonight. We're all going to come together, a Hanukkah dinner. Okay, we're all going to come together, Hanukkah / Thanksgiving dinner. We're going to come together, and I know you people, you Ivrim, you Jews, you don't trust my kashrus. I know you don't trust me no matter what I do. You want Hasidus Shechita, you want this Shechita. So you know what? Come into the kitchen. Watch me. Watch me. You can participate. So a few Mamori Chazal, what exactly? Utvoach, Tevach, Vihochein. So if you were writing an interpretation of Medrash, right, you can make up whatever you want. What do you think it would say? Well, today in this generation, you would say that he showed them, he checked the lettuce, there were no bugs. He showed there's a filter on the sink, right? This is what you would write, a 21st century revisionist, right? He put a filter on the sink, no bugs, and he salted the meat. And it was Hasidus Shashri. There are many, many things. We're dealing with kashrus. It's a $1 billion industry. Kashrus, billion. There are many different things about kashrus to go show everything is kosher of Yashar. And what did Chazal say? Gid Hanoshe. Halfway of a fella. For all the things. Today it's not even an issue. Today in America, there's no Gid Hanoshe issue. It's a non-issue. The whole thing doesn't even start. They don't even deal with it. It's not even worth anything. They give it to the Eretz Yisrael, it's more of an issue, not in America. All the things that you can talk about. The kashrus. Oh, I want to show you. Yosef takes them into the kitchen. Let me show you the gid hanoshe. Salting, kashrus, the knife, this. All these things are not important. The gid hanoshe. What's the gid hanoshe? Because Yosef, the entire theme of Yosef meeting with his brothers, what's the motif? What the pattern? He keeps on teasing them. Ha'od avichai? Is my father really alive? He keeps on asking that. At the very end, he finally says, I'm Yosef. But all along, he keeps on asking them. He keeps on over and over. Really? My father is alive? Really? 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 Why? Because he knew that he was the chosen child of Yaakov. And what the brothers did, they wanted to murder him. What effect would that have on their father, Yaakov? Where's the kibud av? Forget about your hatred for me and all of your religious reasons why I'm a Moirid, I'm a Tzioni, I'm a Mizrahi, I'm all the things that are wrong with Klal Yisrael. Yes, I understand that. I understand that. But what's going to be with our father? If you're going to kill me, how will our father react? He'll go into his grave in mourning over me. Where's the kibud av? Our legitimacy as a nation, as being a Bukhar, only comes from the fact that we are the ones that appreciate where we come from. We appreciate our fathers. He was teasing them. The Gid Hanoshe is the mitzvah of kibud av. Al-Kei Lo Yochlu B'nei Yisrael as Gid Hanoshe, because we did not escort our father. We were mezalzel in his honor. He was teasing them. Let me take you into the kitchen. Look at the Gid Hanoshe. Don't you think that hurt their brothers when they saw the Gid Hanoshe and they were reminded that they did not escort their father. They let their father all alone to cross over the river to retrieve Pachim Ketanim al Achas Kama Vekama. How much harm they caused their father by killing, by attempting to murder their father's child. And now the father is really all alone. Vayivoser Yaakov Levado. This is the ultimate Vayivoser Yaakov Levado by taking away Yosef from Yaakov Avinu. At hurt. That's what he was telling them. That was the deeper meaning of Tevoyach Tevach Vehochid. Okay, we'll wind down. What?
Where is that? You said Tevach.
That's the Parashas Miketz.
Where is
the Gemara? This morning, no Rash doesn't say it.
Not
that I was looking today in the morning. According, if you look at a Torah Tamima, I'll tell you the Gemara right away. I'm looking at Torah Tamima. I probably go on Chulin. I think it's a Gemara on Chulin. I don't remember where it is. It's for sure the Gerash. Okay. I want to wind down. I want to tell you two short ideas. Just to wind down a little cute vart. Yaakov wrestles with the Malach and he says to the Malach, Malach, before you go, I want to know your name. And what does the Malach say? The Malach says, Lama zeh tishalish me. Why do you want to know my name? My name changes every single day. I get a new mission. I have a new mission. So therefore, it's the name I have today is not going to be the name I have tomorrow. It's not important. It's not important. I work for the CIA. I don't have a real name. I just have make-believe names. Let me find the pasuk. Vayar ki ke vayem shalchin ki lo hashav vayem lo ashalecha ki im berachtani vayem ma ilo mashmech vayem Yaakov vayem lo Yaakov. I'm sorry. Let's go further. We'll go back. Where is the pasuk? Vayishal Yaakov vayem hagidim lo shemech vayem lo mazet shalishmi. And Yaakov accepts that. Okay, I won't press you for your name. We know his name, Samuel. All these names, art scroll knows his name. So why didn't, right? So why didn't the Malach reveal his name? So I once heard a very nice vart. He did tell him his name. You know what his name is? My name is Lomazet Tishal Lishmi. That's my name. In other words, what is a person's name? Person's name is, this is essence. And Lishmi, you know what Lishmi refers to? It means Hashem. In other words, what the Malach was telling Esav, telling Yaakov is, you know the essence of my role in life? I'm the Satan. I'm the Sar Shel Esav. What, if you want to summarize the harm that Esav attempts to bring upon Klal Yisrael, summarize in just a few words. They're trying to tell Klal Yisrael, why bother? What are you wasting your time seeking spirituality? Lama zeh tishal lishmi. Why are you being shoyal, trying to yearn? We'll learn, take the word shoyal and translate it loosely to mean to yearn, to understand the name of Hashem. The Satan always says to the person, why bother? Why get up early in the morning and daven with the minyan? Why learn a daf gemara? All of these things are going to bring you closer to understand, to appreciate the Shem Hashem. To understand, the Shem Hashem refers to understand, we don't know that we can ever come close to Hashem Himself. The closest that we come to is the Shem Hashem, meaning to our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Satan's name is Lama Zeh Tishal Lishmi. Every single day the Satan is telling person, why bother? Why are you wasting your time? What are you going to get out of this? You're going to become healthier. You're going to become richer. You're going to be more successful. What's the purpose? So we know the answer is, that's right, we have Emuna. There's another world. And in this world as well, Baruch only comes from coming close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And certainly the Olam HaNitzchi, the only way we're going to survive is by understanding the Shem Hashem. But the Satan's essence is, Lama Zeh Tishal Lishmi. He did give him the name. The name that he gave him, in fact, captures the essence, a summary of the tafkid of what the Satan is all about. Okay, that's one. Okay, one other very quick short vart to leave you with.
Just a minute. It's in Chulin Pei Hei
Omer Aleph. Chulin Pei Hei Omer Aleph. Excellent. Yes. The Gid Hanasha. The Gid Hanasha is Kibbut Avoheim. Okay, one last idea. This is good for Sheva Brachas Torah. So next time I have Shevrachas, you can come back to this. This is a Medrash. The Medrash, but the Medrash just makes this a Ha'ara. It doesn't develop. It's developed different ways by different people. When the Maisa of Dinan Shechem, although it was a terrible tragedy, but there are three. The Medrash, I think it's on this parasha, Medrash Rabbah, on the parasha here. There are three words that are used by Shechem and Hamor in reference to Dina. The first word is... But the first word that is used, Vayar oisa shemen chamor v'chiv nisiyaret zayika chisav yishu sa vayanecha, v'tidbak nafsho. His neshama was dovak. V'tidbak. Attached. It's a very powerful word. Al ken yazav ish es ovev yesino v'dovak v'ishtai. V'atem hadveikim v'ashem elokechem chayim kolchem hayom. Okay. Then we go further. Shechem goes to his father and he says, "Kachli es hayalda hazos liisha v'Yakov shema." Further and further, they come back. Hamor makes a deal. V'yedaber Hamor itam leimar Shechem bini choshuka nafsho cheshek loy me rubchem choshak Hashem bochem. It's not because you are the you Hashem loves us. Hashem has a choshak. It's another word. Hashem has a love, a desire, not because we are numerous. Hashem likes us. The truth is, we're small, we're few number. It's because we observe Hashem's mitzvah. Pasuk in Parashat Veschanan, Lo yimei rubchem choshak Hashem bochem mikol ha'amim. Choshuka, a different word, a different word. Third word. When they finally strike a deal, or when they come close to striking a deal, Shechem says to the brothers, Harbu olai meod mohar matan. The etna kasher term olai. Let's go further. They make a deal that the people of Shechem should have a bris milah. V'lo echar hanar, v'lo echar hanar lasos hadavar ki chofetz bevas Yaakov. Chofetz. I want. Three different words: dovka, choshka, and chofetz. The Medrash says each one is a higher level. Dveikus is the lowest level of love. The next level of love is Choshka, and the highest level is Ki Chofetz, and they call Psukim. You have to look at the Medrash quotes Psukim. So it's a very interesting thing. And from this we learn that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, likewise, the Medrash is used as a springboard. Hashem also has love for Klal Yisrael. We find these expressions. Hashem has all three forms of love for Klal Yisrael. Only point I want to say to make a Jewish is it's interesting that these three different words are used to describe Dina in different ways. When we use the word Davak, when the Pasuk chooses the word Davak, it's used in connection with Dina Bas Yaakov. Vayidaber Alev Hanara. Let me just find the words of the Pasuk. Vatidbak Nafsho, Pasuk Gimel, Bidina Bas Yaakov. The word Dveikus is used when we refer to Dina by name. Dina, her name. When we refer to her the second time with the word Choshka, Vayidaber Chamor Itam Lemor. Who's Itam? Itam is Yaakov and his children. Itam, all of them, all the brothers. Primarily the brothers are the one that are speaking. Itam. Shechem b'ni Choshka Nafsho Bivitchem. Now, Bivitchem literally means your daughter, but in the context it means here your sister. That's the way he was spoken. He's talking to Yaakov, the Rosh HaMishpacha, but he's speaking to all of the brothers, and he says, Bivitchem, that's the way it was used. So in this context, it means your brothers.
It means your
Yaakov's daughter, but primarily it means that she is the sister. That's how it's been used in the context, because who's speaking over here? V'nei Yaakov bohu min ha-sadik yashamam, v'yis'atsu ha-nosh v'yich alehem ma'od, k'nevolov v'chulu v'chulu, v'yidaber chamor itam. Chamor is speaking to all of them, to Yaakov and to the brothers. And in fact, he's speaking more to the brothers than the father, because the one that makes the negotiations are the brothers, not the father. And it says, b'vitchem, so b'vitchem over here means your brothers. And then, the third time, the third time it says Ki Chofetz Bivas Yaakov. So what do we learn from this? Okay, this is Sheva Brachas Torah. That when it comes to a shidduch, there are really three parts to the shidduch. There is the wife, there is the girl, there is the wife, your partner, the spouse. Then there are her brothers, and then there is her father. And the what? The Shvig is included in the father. That's the Bas Yaakov. The father, the Shvig is the father. Oh, well done, well said.
But he's the father.
So what's the Musa Haskel? The Musa Haskel is that the Chiba that a person is successfully, again, I don't know from this, I'm just theorizing. The Chiba a person has to have in the Shidduch has to extend beyond just his wife. And in fact, you look at the psukim, look at the way the psukim are used, look at this, you can't ignore the fact that the Medrash makes it very clear the highest level of love is ki chafetz. And who does it say the word chafetz by? Not Dina, Bas Yaakov, the Shver. I appreciate who she is the daughter of. And when it comes to the mishpacha, the family, the broad family, there's even a higher level. There's the second level, the middle level is choshka, powerful word, bivitchem. And the simplest level, Dovka, which, don't get me wrong, is a very powerful word. But the lowest level of love is said, Dina Bas Yaakov, Dina, the person. So you learn here, Limud HaMusar is that success, Chiba, in marriage, is not limited just to one spouse. If there's not a good relationship with the family, Bivitchem, and the Bas Yaakov, that's problematic. There's definitely something here to, obviously there are a billion exceptions, okay, but Avi, there is definitely some powerful limud hamusar in the way that this person is described. She's described as being who she is. I am Dina. That's my name. I am who I am. I made a name for myself. I'm also a sister to this mishpacha. These are my brothers. We're going to be around. Le'olam v'oed. We're going to be around. And then I come from somewhere. I come from a previous generation, the Bas Yaakov. And there are three different types of love. And those three loves, seemingly, if you would be writing this, you would say the opposite, right? Isn't that what you would say? Isn't that how you would say that the ultimate love has to be for Dina Bas Yaakov, Ki Chofetz? And the secondary love should be for the brother-in-laws, because they're going to be around for a long time. You're going to have to live with them. And then, the smallest level of love, she comes from, that's something, I don't have to deal with the parents. The parents, they only come for Yom Tov. I don't have to deal with them very often. That would be the least. That's how what we would expect. And it's shocking, it's just the opposite. That says something. What it says exactly is something to think about. I don't know. But it is definitely something very powerful here to learn. There's one other observation. By Adam and Adam HaRishon, what does it say? It says, Alkein Yazav Ishus Aviv V'Davak V'Ishto. Same thing. There were no parents. There were no parents. And there were no brothers and sisters. All you had was just the spouse. So there's no need for Chafetz and there's no need for Cheshek. All you have is Davak V'Ishto.
And he complained.
What?
And he complained
to Isha has something to think about. Definitely there's something very deep here. That I leave you have a wonderful Shabbos. Adonai